إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our 9th session, reading from Manhaj Yawmi li Talib al-Ilm, and a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we look at the points that we want to take tonight, I want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 8. The first question being, mention each of the four areas outlined by the author, rahimahullah, as part of one's daily routine in life. Yani the four general areas that this advice is divided into. Four areas. Tonight, inshallah, we are going to continue with the fourth area. What is the first area? First general area, Abdul Wali. Manhaj with Allah ta'ala. Manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. How you should be in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second area. Naam, Ahmed. Your manhaj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is your relationship with the Prophet? What are his rights over us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And so on. Third area. Naam, Allahumma musta'an. Huh? Abdullah. Naam. Naam, your daily routine, yani the acts of worship that a Muslim should be constantly, regularly engaged in outside of the obligatory duties, outside of the 5 obligatory prayers and things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. And the fourth area, that the general area that the Shaykh gives advice concerning is what? Naam, Zakariya. The path of seeking knowledge. Fariqat Talib al-Ilm. The path of seeking knowledge. Question number 2. Memorize the first advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. Yani, Naam, Sharif. Strive to memorize the Quran. Uh-huh. What else did he say? Somebody else. Naam, Zaki. And he set a goal, set for yourself daily what you're going to be reading from the Quran every single day. Naam, what else? Ali. Naam, that a person intends to read it with reflection, with contemplation. Yani seeking to understand what is being read. And finally, Abdullah. Yani to write down any benefit that you come across in your daily reading. Write it down for what? Why should you write it down? So you can act upon it now. Uh-huh. To help it to stick, because you may forget. So if you write it down, inshallah, you won't lose it. Question number 3. Discuss individually each aspect of the first advice under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. Yani, the Shaykh, he mentioned 4 matters in this, yani, first matter. Yani, the first advice that the Shaykh gave here that we just talked about, 4 matters he mentioned. So what is the first matter and what is the significance? In brief, Naam, Ali.
The first matter
in this fourth advice. The fourth advice, yani the tariqah of talib al-ilm. What is the first advice and its importance? Naam, Adam.
To strive to memorize the Quran.
Why?
To reflect over its meaning.
Okay, to reflect over his meaning, but I mean, because memorizing the Quran is the foundation of everything. So how is a person going to seek knowledge without, yani, giving attention to the Quran, first and foremost? The second matter that he mentioned there, under this, yani, advice, first advice, now, second point that he mentioned.
Memorizing the Sunnah?
Before that, under seeking, yani, here under this first advice, yani, a person should, yani, seek to memorize the Quran. Under the first advice here, he mentions another point under the first advice, now, which is, we just talked about it just now. Yasir.
Set a goal for yourself
The second matter that he mentions under this first point is that you set a goal that you're going. Why set a goal every day for what you're going to read? Why are you doing that? Now, consistency, so that you can be consistent. And it's not going to be one day you read 10 juz and the next day you don't read anything. Set a goal that every day I'm going to read at least 10 pages, 20 pages, 5 pages, whatever it is, and try to be consistent. The third matter that he mentions under this first advice. The third point that he mentions here. Naam, Ahmed. Yeah.
Reading with tadabbur and tafahum.
Why reading with tadabbur and tafahum? What's the difference between that reading and some other reading? Naam.
So you get the benefits.
And the benefit is going to be that you reflect and you contemplate and you ponder over what you're reading. Yani that your goal when you're reading is not just to finish the reading, but to reflect on what you're reading so that you can tafahum, you can understand what you're reading. That's the point. Otherwise, just reading, people are reading every day and not reflecting what they're reading and not understanding what they're reading and therefore not getting any benefit. Yani in terms of guidance. And the last point that the Shaykh makes, Naam Zaki. Yani try to preserve. Yani whatever you find that stands out to you, that sticks with you, that you feel is really going to be helpful to you, try to preserve it by writing it down, recording it, registering it, so you can always go back and benefit from it again and again. Fayyib. The fourth question mentioned the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abdul ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma about reading the Quran daily. The hadith that's reported in Bukhari and Muslim. What did he say to Abdullah ibn Amr? Ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma. Naam, fadl. Hanif. Naam, he told him to recite the Qur'an, meaning to read one portion of the Qur'an every day, like 1/30, so that he can finish the Qur'an in 1 month. What happened when he said that to him? Naam. He said, I can do more. I have the strength to do more than that. I can read more than 1/30 every day. So that went back and forth until the Prophet ﷺ told him what?
7 days.
Yani to read the Quran in 7 days. Yani 1/7 every single day. And there's also another hadith that we mentioned last week where he said, don't read it in less than 3 days. Naam. And we also mentioned Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentions that some of the Salaf, in special occasions, special times, and special places, used to read more than that. And to get the blessings from those blessed times and places. Question number 5. Memorize the second advice of the author, rahimullah, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The second advice. Naam. Fadl.
Memorize what's easy from the authentic sunnah, like under the Ahkam.
Now, memorize what is easy for you. What you find you have the ability to do from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, for example, Umdatul Ahkam. Now, the last question, memorize the third advice of the author, what we're going to talk about today, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. What is the third advice of the author in this path? Naam Ali. Now, yani to make an effort to strive to be diligent in trying to yani focus, concentrate on one topic and stick to it and be steady with it, yani, and not be all over the place, taking a little bit from here and there. And this, why he said that? He said because taking it from here and there, going all over the place, not focusing, concentrating and sticking to one thing at a time, will cause you to waste your time and scatter your mind so that you will not benefit. So these are some of the points that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the next point. We're reading in English from the top of page 40 and in Arabic from the top of page 48. In Arabic from the top of page 48. The third advice under the general topic of the tariqah, the path of seeking knowledge. The Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, احرس على التركيز والثبات بحيث لا تأخذ العلم نتفا من هذا شيء ومن هذا شيء لأن هذا يضيع وقتك وَيُشَطِّتُ ذِئْنَكَ. Yani the Shaykh, he's encouraging, advising, yani informing us that a person, yarhamukallah, needs to have diligence, yani needs to be desirous of and eager about, yani focusing in one's study, focusing, yani concentrating on a subject and sticking to it, being steady with it. Take one subject, focus on that subject, concentrate on that one thing, and stay with it until you get the benefit from it. He said, focus, yani at-tarkiz wa thabat, in such a manner that you are not all over the place, taking something, yani nutfan, yani taking a little from here and a little bit from there, and a person really doesn't really get the real benefit because they're all over the place. They're not really getting any subject fully. He said, because this, yani weight, is a waste of your time, and it also scatters your mind. So here the point is that the Shaykh is telling us, focus, concentrate, stick to a subject until you are able to understand it and grasp it and benefit from it. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, in his commentary actually clarifies what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen means here. Perhaps a person reads this advice and might not really understand what he's saying here. I mean, the general idea, focus, concentrate, be steady, stick to something, that's pretty clear, but what exactly does that mean? And this is one of the benefits of learning from the scholars, that a person doesn't read a book and think they understand what the author is saying and really don't understand. That's our reality, that we might read books and think we understand what the author is saying and we don't understand. And that's why when we study with the scholars, they explain to us what we are reading, what is intended, what is meant, what is an example of it, how do you do it. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, being really one of the distinguished scholars of the people of Sunnah in the world today, and we don't underestimate his value and his station and his status. And the people who have seen him and who have sat with him and who have learned from him all over the world that he has traveled, not just in Saudi Arabia, not just in Medina, recognize the station of this great scholar in his own right, aside from his father. Now, he says, وَهَذَا تَنْبِيحٌ مُهِمٌ. Yani this is a notice that is very important. The Shaykh is notifying us of something that we really need to pay attention to. We are students of knowledge. We are seeking knowledge. This is something that we need to pay attention to. The importance of at-tarqiz wa thabat. And going into a subject, focusing on it, and sticking to it. وَكَثِيرٌ مَا نَغْفُلُ عَنْهُ. Yani, it is often, it is frequent that we are unmindful of this affair. The importance of any focusing on a subject until we grasp it. وَالشَّيْخْ يَرَى أَنَّ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُؤَسِّسَ نَفْسَهُ عِلْمِيًّا. Yani he's saying that the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, it is his view. Yani what he's stating here is that the student of knowledge is expected to establish for himself a knowledge-based foundation. يُؤَسِّسَ نَفْسَهُ عِلْمِيًّا. That he makes a foundation for himself that's based upon knowledge. Meaning, anything that you want to build, if you want it to last, it has to have a foundation. You build a house without a foundation, no matter what you use to build it, it's not going to last long. You have to have a foundation. So the Shaykh is telling us, establish your foundation, your knowledge-based foundation. Focus on the subject that you want to study, whether it's aqidah, hadith, fiqh, tafsir, whatever. Focus on that subject, stick to it and stay with it until you build a foundation, and that foundation you build upon it as time goes on, as you take it from one level to the next. But you have to have a foundation. He said the Shaykh's view is that the student of knowledge, it is incumbent upon him to establish a knowledge-based foundation for himself. وَالتَّأْسِيسِ ilmiyan yakunu bi riayati wa inayati al-mutun. So how is this knowledge-based foundation, how is it established? He said it is established by giving care and giving your full attention to the mutun. To the mutun. Yani those broad-based outlines of the essential elements of any science. The metan, yani, is a short, usually, yani, broad-based outline of what are the essential elements of this science, of tafsir, of fiqh, of hadith. And that's going to be your foundation. You learn it well, you memorize it, you understand it, you comprehend it, and then you seek knowledge in that field of tafsir, or hadith, or fiqh, building on the foundation of the metin. The Shaykh says what? The ta'asis, the establishment of this, yani broad-based foundation, is by giving care and giving one's full attention to the mutun, yani to these texts, these books. He said, "Allati wada'aha ahlul ilm," that have been written by the scholars. These mutun that have been written by the scholars, لِتُصْبِحَ قَاعِدَةً لِطَلْبُ الْعِلْمِ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ وَالْفِقْهِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. Yani the scholars have written these mutun in various sciences so that the metin that you learn and that you study and that you memorize will become a qa'ida, yani it will become a foundation for the study of that science, for the student of knowledge, whether it is in al-aqidah or in hadith or in fiqh or whatever is similar to that. That metin becomes your foundation. That as you go to the next level and the level after that, you're going to build on that foundation. You're going to learn more of the details, the proofs and evidences and things like that as you go along. He says, فَيَأْتَنِي بِهَذِهِ الْمُتُونَ بِحَيْثُ تَكُونُ فُصُولًا ثَابِتَةً يُؤَسِّسُ عَلَيْهَا عِلْمَهُ لَا أَنْ يَكُونَ تَحْصِيلُ الْعِلْمِ نُتَفًا. He said, so the student of knowledge gives care and attention and carefully studies these mutun in such a manner that they will become fusulan, thabitatan. Yani they will become fixed, established, yani sciences, sections of knowledge. Yani a metin in hadith that will be, yani, a foundation that will be firmly fixed, that you will build upon as you achieve and attain and obtain more knowledge in that field. Not that the attainment of knowledge is, yani, that a person is all over the place. Nutafan. But stick to one thing, concentrate on it, stay with it until you establish a strong foundation in any science that you're going to, yani, further your study of and increase your knowledge of as you go along and build upon it. I'm just going to mention here quickly, and I'll send, this note, I'll send it to the class, inshallah, if I don't forget when I get home in the night. Some examples of mutun, which become knowledge-based foundations that are discussed, yani become those knowledge-based foundations that are discussed under this third advice as it relates to the daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. So one of the books that we recently studied that is an example of the mutun that a person studies and they make it as their foundation to build upon is Al-Aqid Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So a person, yani, learns that book, actually memorizes it, yani the metin, the text of the book. And then, yani when they learn it, and they learn it well, and they understand something from it, it becomes a foundation for their learning of the subject of aqidah. An example that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned last week of a metin that is a foundation upon which a person learns, builds their knowledge, is Umdat al-Ahkam by Imam Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah. It's a book that has the important, many of the important hadith related to ahkam, legal rulings. That a person, if they memorize that book, when they memorize it, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, they will have memorized, yani, the important hadith related to legal rulings that have several benefits. And from its benefits is that all the hadith in Umdat al-Ahkam are from al-Bukhari and Muslim. So a person doesn't have to worry about the sources of those hadith and their authenticity and the gradings of them, but they can rest and relax knowing that these hadith are from Bukhari and Muslim, or at least one of them. And then they can use those hadith as evidences in whatever, yani, they are looking at of the issues, the masail that they may come across. Another book like this in hadith, one of the more, probably even more famous book, is Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. But the difference between Bulugh al-Maram and Umdat al-Ahkam is that Bulugh al-Maram are hadith of ahkam that cover all of the legal rulings, areas of legal rulings. However, the hadith are from lots of different books. So a person, yani, in order to keep track of them, has to, yani, make some tremendous effort to know where is this hadith from and what is its grade. Another book that I myself benefited from in my early years is Ad-Dura Al-Bahiyya fi Al-Masail Al-Fiqhiyya by Imam Muhammad ibn Ali Al-Shawkani rahimahullah, who was a great scholar of hadith and a scholar of fiqh and a scholar of tafsir from Yemen. And in this book, he mentions the fiqh issues that a person is going to need to know when they're studying tahara, salat, zakat, siyam, marriage, divorce, buying, selling, ruling, yani, government. He mentions the masail, but in a summarized form. And in every area, he mentions what are the issues that a person needs to know. And then later on, he actually wrote an explanation of that book. And many scholars after his time have written explanations of this book. In fact, I wanted to bring with me, but it's a little bit heavy, about 800 or 900 pages, English explanation. Yani, a translation of the explanation of this book of Al-Imam al-Shawkani that is published even in English. Yani, for people who might not yet be able to read in Arabic. Finally, I want to mention one last book, and I know the time is upon us. Wallahu musta'an. In Arabic, Al-Muqaddima Al-Ajurumiyya fi Mabadi Ilm Al-Arabiyya, a book that is normally mentioned as the first book that a student is going to look at and study, memorize, and build upon it in terms of their learning of the Arabic language. And Al-Ajurumiyya is written by Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Dawood, Sinhaji Al-Ajurumi. So these are some examples, and inshallah, when I send out the this note here to the class, at the bottom of it, there's a link to a website for Mutun by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin ibn Muhammad Al-Qasim, Imam and Khatib of Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. He has a website where in his website, one of the sections in his website are the Mutun that he has collected in various sciences, and he has divided them into levels. Beginner's level, second level, third level, fourth level, fifth level. On each level, there are various topics. In some levels, there might be Arabic and hadith and fiqh and aqidah. In another level, there will be usul fiqh and maybe inheritance and so on. And maybe he has, yani, a first level book in hadith and a fourth level book in hadith. And same thing with aqidah and so on. So I'll send the link for that. It's in Arabic for those who are able to read Arabic. It is a good reference for seeing what types of books a person should be reading in the beginning and so on. Tayyib. The second matter, or the fourth matter, I mean, of the advice of Ali Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in the area of the path of seeking knowledge, Sheikh Abdul Razak Hafidhullah says, Qala rahimahullah ta'ala, ibda bi sigar al-kutub wa ta'ammalha jayyida thumma intaqil ila ma fawqaha hatta tuhassila ala al-ilmi shay'an fa shay'an ala wajhin yarsukhu fi qalbika wa tatma'innu ilayhi nafsuka. Yani, the fourth advice in the path of seeking knowledge, and this is something that probably we have heard before in general, that is, he says, yani Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin says, begin with the smaller books. Yani, meaning the beginning level books. And then, yani, reflect on them, study them, examine them well. Start with a beginning level book in any science, whether it's in hadith or tafsir or aqidah or whatever. Start with the smaller books, study them, examine them carefully, and then go on to what comes after that, what is above it, to the next level. So that a person will achieve knowledge little by little, step by step, in a manner in which the knowledge will be, yani, deep rooted, yarsukhu fi qalbi, yani, will be deep rooted, will be firmly established in a person's heart. Yani, a person studies it well until they grasp it and they, yani, memorize it and they have it, they understand it completely, totally, very well, before going on. And so that they will, yani, be comfortable with it, and they will be confident in what they have learned. What is the point here? Person starts at the first level, studies that book in that science carefully, thoroughly, until they know it well and they are at rest and comfortable with it and they understand it before they go on to the next level book in that science. Step by step. The Shaykh on this particular point, Shaykh Abdul Razak, has a lengthy commentary and some footnotes. So we're going to try to cover it a little bit more quickly. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, وَلِهَذَا غَالِبَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ يُرْشُدُونَ مَنْ بَدَعَ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى كِتَابِ الْأَرْبَعِينَ لِلْإِمَامِ النَّوَوِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. And it is for this reason that a person should start with the smaller books and learn them well before they go on to other books. Yani, stay with it until it's firmly rooted, till it's firmly established, and they feel comfortable and confident with what they have learned. He said, it is for this reason that the Ahlul Ilm, the ulama, guide the person who is at the beginning of his seeking knowledge. He's just starting to seek knowledge. They guide him to the book Al-Arba'in, yani the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. وَلَا يُزِيدُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And they don't tell people to go beyond that. They don't give more than that. They say, start with this, focus on it, stick with it, study it, examine it carefully, until you are comfortable with it and confident with what is in that book. He said, they didn't go beyond that, but they suggested, they recommended, they guided a person to this book. يَقُولُونَ اِعْتَنِي بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Yani, give attention and care to this book. While some of the du'at and some of the students of knowledge, if a person who's in the beginning of his seeking knowledge just began to enter into, yani, uprightness, yani, just became a person who's practicing his deen, he said, some of the du'at, the callers to Islam, and the students of knowledge, take a person, and he says to them, what do you advise me with? And he, yani, bimada tansahuni, yani, what should I be, how should I be learning, what should I be reading? The Shaykh, he says, amlahu qa'imatan bil kutub. He said that they will give him a lengthy list of books that he should be reading and say to him, وَهَذَا جَيِّدْ وَهَذَا مُفِيدْ وَهَذَا نَافِيَ. Yani, this is a good book, this is beneficial, this one is such and such and so, this one is good for this and that, هَذَا يَصْلُحْ فِي كَذَا. This is a book that's good for this subject and a book for that subject. فَيُرَى الْعِلْمْ ثَقِيلًا جِدًّا. That person who's just beginning to seek knowledge finds this seeking knowledge to be heavy, to be difficult. يَجِدُ صُعُوبَةً فِي الدُّخُولِ فِي هَذِهِ كُلِّهَا. He finds difficulty in, yani, taking on all of these different books and these different subjects in the very beginning. وَفِي الْغَالِبِ يَتْرُكُهُ. And generally what happens most of the time is that the person just abandons the seeking knowledge altogether. The Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ خُذَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ يَكْفِيكَ. And he take this 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, and this will be sufficient for you. Give care and attention. احفظه. Memorize it. وراجعه. And revive it. Review it. Go over it again and again and again. استمع إلى شروحاته. And listen to the explanations. يعني the explanations of the scholars concerning the 40 hadith. He said it's 40 hadith. It's not going to take a lot of time. لو حفظت كل يوم حديثا لأكملتها في 40 يوما. And if a person was to just memorize one of those hadith every day, or maybe for us one every week, to be realistic. And for some of us, nam, one every day. And for some of us, it might take a week or even longer. It doesn't matter. As the Shaykh said previously, Shaykh Abdul Razak, and the thing that's most beloved to Allah is that a person is consistent in what they're doing, even if it's a little bit. And if a person can't memorize one hadith every day or even one every week, one a month, but be consistent in memorizing. If it's going to be once a month, every month memorize one. So that after 40 months, inshallah, or 42 months, as the Shaykh said, a person would have completed after 40 days or 42 days or 42 weeks. وَسَتَجِدُ أَثَرَهَا الْمُبَارَكَ عَلَيْكَ. And you will find the blessed effect of studying these hadith and listening to the explanations of the scholars of these hadith. You will find the effect in your life. You will find the effect that it has on you. And I can say personally that a brother sent me an email once, years after having given him Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan's explanation of 40 hadith. He sent me an email and he said, that book, after reading that book, he said it took me 1 year. But after reading that book, it changed my life. It changed my life. Now, this book can have an effect. Yani the study, the proper study, yani of these things changes a person's life. The Shaykh says, لأن الأربعين للإمام النووي رحمه الله سبحان الله عجيبة للغاية. And this is because this book, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi, he said, it is yani absolutely amazing. وفق رحمة الله عليه توفيقا عظيما في انتقائها وجمعها. Yani that Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah was given a great success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way he selected these hadith and in his compilation of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tawfiq in that. And because of that, and we find that people throughout the generations, throughout the world, in every land amongst the Muslims, are benefiting tremendously from this book. Before I go on to what the Shaykh says here, what remains, I'm going to just read, and there's a footnote here that the Shaykh has placed here. He said, Al-Imam Nawawi himself, rahimahullah, said concerning his 40 hadith, يَنْبَغِ لِكُلِّ رَاغِبٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ هَذِهِ الْأَحَدِيثِ لما اشتملت عليه من المهمات واحتوت عليه من التنبيه على جميع الطاعات وذلك ظاهر لمن تدبره. Imam Nawawi says in his introduction for the hadith, in a lengthy introduction, part of what he said is here that it is incumbent upon every person who is desirous of the hereafter. A person has a desire to meet Allah in a good condition. He said it is incumbent upon that person to be familiar with these hadith, due to what they consist of very important matters, and how they draw attention to every act of obedience that a Muslim needs to know, and whoever yani examines this book carefully, it will become clear to him. After this, the Sheikh Abdul Razak says, كُتِبَ فِي الْأَرْبَعِينَ كُتُبْ كَثِيرًا. Many books have been written in the subject of 40 hadith. Many scholars have written on the subject of 40 hadith. I think in his introduction, Al-Imam Nawawi, and I think for sure he did mention, and many very, very important scholars who made collections of 40 hadith on different topics. He mentions names of them, and he said there were many, many more. The important thing is that lots of scholars have collected 40 hadith. But here the Shaykh is saying Allah has given tawfiq to Imam Nawawi, because many books have been written on this subject before him and after him. لكن لم يكتب لكتاب ألف في أربعين من القبول والعموم النفع والفائدة مثل ما كتب للعربين النووي رحمه الله. Even though many books have been written on this subject, collections of 40 hadith by various different real scholars. I'm not talking about the books of 40 hadith collected by regular people. By scholars, real scholars, major scholars, including the likes of Al-Imam Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, has a book of 40 hadith. Al-Juri has a book of 40 hadith. And these are major scholars, yani, in the history of Islam. But none of them, the Shaykh says, none of their works, yani, Allah didn't decree that any of those books that were written in the subject of 40 hadith have the acceptance among the Muslims and to benefit generally, to generally benefit the Muslims like the acceptance and the benefit from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And then he says, this is because لأنه انتقى فيه الجوامع من كلم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بحيث إذا حفظه طالب العلم حفظا متقنا واستمع إلى شروحاته من أكثر من عالم يصبح عنده قاعدة شرعية صلبة متينة يبني عليها عقيدته وعبادته وَتَعَامُلَهُ مَا النَّاسِ. The reason why this book has received such great acceptance, was received with acceptance and benefited so many people, is because Al-Imam An-Nawawi has carefully selected in this book the comprehensive, yani the concise and comprehensive speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a manner that if a student of knowledge or a seeker of knowledge memorizes it with strong memorization, memorizes it well, and listens to the explanations of it from more than one scholar. For example, when we studied the 40 hadith or the 50 hadith, we studied the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, the Sheikh's father. But we also used to note sometimes some of the commentary from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, or some of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, or some of the commentary of Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, and other scholars who wrote explanations of 40 hadith. And if a person studies this book, memorizes these hadith, and listens or reads these explanations, various explanations from more than one scholar, then this will become for him a foundation, a shar'i foundation that will be solid, firm, and strong, upon which he can build his aqidah, his belief system, and his ibadah, his worship, and his ta'amul, yani his interaction, how he interacts with the people, whether social interaction or business interaction or other than that. Finally, and we're almost at the time of the adhan, finally, there's a footnote here, also at the end of the Sheikh's statement on this matter, in which Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafizahullah, he says, I don't find any uneasiness or discomfort in narrating to you or mentioning to you an experience that I experienced with this book, the 40 Hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. He said, in one of the Dual Al-Afriqiyya, one of the African countries that he visited, and he remained there nearly 20 days. He said, I began a lesson in the study of the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And there was for me, amongst the people, a translator who translated what he's saying to the people. Obviously, there were some people in that country who knew Arabic, some students of knowledge who knew Arabic, and maybe other people. But there were lots of people who didn't know Arabic. So he had a translator to translate for him. He said, and the masjid was full, fully attended. And in this land, in this country, where he was teaching, giving these lessons from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam Nawawi, he said, فِيهِ مُخَالَفَاتْ كَثِيرًا. And he, amongst those people, there were many things that they did, or they said, or they believed, that were contrary to Islam. that were contrary to the Sharia of Allah, contrary to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it was in aqidah, or whether it was in ibadah in their worship, or whether it was in akhlaq in their manners and character, or whether it was in their muamalat, in their dealings and interactions with one another. There were many things that the people engaged in that were contrary to Islam. He said, so I used to ask some of the students of knowledge to inform me about these mukhalifat. Yani, what are the problems that you have in your country that the people are falling into, whether it's in aqidah, in ibadah, in your interactions with one another, in business, or whatever it might be. What are the problems that occur amongst your people here in this land? He said, whether it was mashakil al-buyut, or al-jara'im al-lati taqa, or al-fasad al-aqadi, or bid'ah, or whatever is like that. Then it may be the problems that people have in their homes, yani in their families, or crimes that are being committed, or false beliefs, corrupt beliefs that the people hold, or innovations, or whatever is similar to that. Inform me of what are the problems here. Inform me why? Because he's a visitor. He doesn't know what's going on there. So he's asking the people who know, what are the problems that I need to address here? What are the problems that your people are facing? And how is he going to address it? Through the explanation of 40 hadith. So he said, so during the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, I was addressing the problems that I heard were in that land, in that country. I was addressing them without saying, يعني بدون أن أقول عندكم كذا. يعني I didn't say to the people, I heard you people are on some bid'ah. I heard you people are committing this kind of sins and that. No. He didn't say anything like that. Rather, he said, while I'm explaining the 40 hadith, أقول while I'm explaining the 40 hadith, وقد دل هذا الحديث العظيم على عدم جواز كذا من جهة كذا وأبين الأدلة. Yani he would just, while he's teaching the 40 hadith, he would just say, this hadith, this great magnificent hadith that we are studying here from the Prophet ﷺ, it points to, it indicates the prohibition of such and such and so, that this is not permissible. And then he would say, from what perspective, how does this hadith indicate that? And then he would give the evidences and proofs of what he's saying from that hadith. Or from other than that. Yani they prove what this hadith is pointing to from the problems that he found the people, yani occurring amongst the people in that particular land. He said, وَكَانَ عَدَدًا مِنْهُمْ يَأْتِي وَيُعْلِنْ تَوْبَتَهُ. So a number of the amongst the people who were present publicly announced their tawbah. And after hearing that this hadith from the 40 hadith of the Prophet of Nawawi from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani proves the prohibition of such and such and so, after people came to know that, many of the people repented from their behavior. He said, وَيَأْتِ آخَرُونَ يَذْكُرُونَ مُخَالَفَاتٍ أُخْرَى. And some others would come, any other than the people that I was asking, and they would mention that there's other problems that we have here. And they would say, we want you to address this problem in the hadith that are coming up, that we didn't reach yet. So they would tell him, these are our problems, please address them while you're teaching this magnificent book. And we're going to stop with this. And only to say that there are two points remaining from the advice in this fourth area. That is the tariqah, the path of seeking knowledge. There are two points remaining. And what I want to say is that the remaining two points will complete these few selected advices of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. Of all the things that he could have said, he mentioned 6 points. There are lots of things that a person who is sincerely seeking knowledge needs to know about the path of seeking knowledge. The fact that he mentioned these 6 points out of all that he could have said, yani we should feel that these things are very important. He could have mentioned 10 or 20 things. He could have mentioned less. He could have mentioned other things. But the fact that he is a great scholar and a great imam, and that these are the things that he mentioned, yani should be taken to heart. And we should take these advices and try to act upon every single one of them, بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success. And doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, yani steadfastness upon the sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah to grant relief to the Muslims, men, women, and children who are being murdered and slaughtered and oppressed, whether in Palestine or in other lands of the Muslims or other than the lands of the Muslims, wherever they may be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them with a protection from Himself, from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and from above them and below them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa al-musta'an. He is the one from whom help is sought. Allah alone. Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought. And He is the one who does whatever He wills. And He is the one who controls every affair. And He is the one who decrees whatever occurs in this universe is all by the decree of Allah. And Allah doesn't decree a decree for the believer except that it's good for them, if they're patient and thankful. So we ask Allah to grant them relief and to compensate them in this world and in the next, and to help us, yani, to learn from these lessons of what is happening in the world, to tie our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And with Allah alone is the success. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.